And good afternoon, Muskie. And this July 12th, 2024, you are watching or listening to your show, Torn Into, your show for news, information, and more. Brought to you by our sponsor, Bishop Custom Series and Entertainment. Welcome aboard, sir. We appreciate you sponsoring the show. Now, remember, our shows repeat themselves. If you're driving and you would like to watch it, you can go to our Facebook sites, WVS 103.7 to be or M106. We would like you to also to join the conversation by going to those sites as well. Today, I'm a little struggling with the voice, but that's okay. I do want to wish my wife's birthday tomorrow. Emily, happy birthday, and I love you. So there's my brownie point. Today, Pastor Melvin Burns is at a funeral. I brought in he's no stranger to the show, a good friend of mine, a great friend of mine. Put your hands together for Professor David Taki Taki.
I wasn't expecting in-studio applause, but thank you, Greg.
What's the weather?
Well, today it looks like we've got a high of 82 degrees. It's going to be sunny. Low is scheduled for 63 degrees. Tomorrow looks like it's going to be largely the same with a high of 84 degrees and a low of 64 degrees. Careful, we could see some rain on Sunday, about a 40% chance of rain, but temperatures are holding steady. And it looks like next week, once we get beyond some chance of rain on Tuesday, is going to be more Michigan pleasant with highs in the 70s and lows in the high 50s and high 50s and low 60s.
Remember, if you don't like the weather in Muskegon, it will change in 5 seconds. So just remember that. Okay, our guest today, take it away, Professor.
Yes, so we are honored to have in the studio today a couple of ladies who are doing some fantastic work for our community. We want to welcome from Muskegon Family Care, Lori Carter, who is their Director of Operations, and Kenitha Collins, who serves as the Community Service Patient Experience Manager. Ladies, welcome to the show and thank you for being here.
Okay, we're gonna clap.
Yes. I don't need to be the only person to give the round of applause.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yes, no, thank you for being here. And thank you for doing some pretty incredible work in the community. And that's just your day job. We've also got something coming up here that is a really remarkable opportunity for all sorts of folks in the community. You've titled it Celebrating Hometown Heroes. Tell me and everybody else a little bit about what this is going to be and what's going on.
Okay. Celebrating Hometown Heroes. Actually, we came up with wanted to celebrate Anthony Bradford, actually, for making it to NFL. It's what our first intent was. And then Miss Lori Carter, her mind started to wander, and then it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. So what we did, we started to incorporate how we can get the children's physicals, how we can get everybody leave some finances off, take away some of the disparities. So again, her mind keeps going and going, and then it gets bigger and bigger. Now we have bounce houses and food and NFL players and physicals and everything else.
We do. We do. Just part of our mission is to remove barriers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, having a celebration like this is, again, an opportunity to be able to remove barriers for mm-hmm. folks to come in to see our community, nice. To participate in our community, to spend a little money in our community, yeah. you know, mm-hmm. see what our needs are. So, you know, I envision it, but I'm not alone. I envision it and we walk and she has it and her crew all set up and ready to go.
That's amazing. So we're going to go over this several times, but before we go any further, I want to point out that this event will be Saturday, July 13th from noon to 4 p.m. at Phillips Field at Muskegon Heights High School, 2441 Sanford Street. And that for more information, they can get a hold of you, Kenitha,
yes.
at 231-737-1804.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
We're going to do that again later, yes. but in case people are tuning in and out or, you know, changing their station, I'd never turn away from 103.7. But never do that. But if you're getting out of the car, right? You know, you're transitioning from your car to your Wi-Fi. Just you know, make sure you have that information now. So, obviously, Muskegon has an incredible athletic history. We have some amazing athletes from this community. We have some amazing athletes coming up in this community. Yeah. And you're talking about removing barriers. This is something I'm sure you guys see maybe more than anybody else, but I love the idea that you took what was going to be a celebration to somebody who made it and turned it into something where people who are still coming up, maybe you can help them along the path. What sort of things are we going to see at this event that people can really take advantage of?
Well, we're going to start with the Little League and Little League cheerleaders and football. And they're going to do signups for the for any league, actually, not just Muskegon Ikes, Lakeshore, Reese Perfect, whoever, whatever child come and sign up. Muskegon Family Care is going to eat $10 of that cost for registration. Say, for instance, registration is $25. Registration will be $10 for that, because we're going to eat the cost of that. And yesterday, Tawana McDaniel called, and she thought it was such a good idea that she picked up and said, I'll sponsor three kids. And then she talked to the people at Muskegon Heights Police Department. They said, well, we're going to sponsor some children. And then the fire department caught on. So it's like a little domino effect, which I'm excited about, because our intent was just to, you know, take $10 off and give the people registration for like $15.
So I mean, that is Muskegon Heights in a nutshell right there. When you have folks from the community, our first responders, stepping up and seeing a need, exactly, and people knocking down barriers for kids, that's absolutely amazing. So you've seen it started out as just a Muskegon Family Care initiative. You guys were going to do it all on your own, which is, again, clap, yeah, clap. That's laudable, right? Right. But now you've got other people stepping up. And Kenneth, I know that technically Lori is your boss and all, right? You said that she was the one who kind of blew up the idea, that it was her ideas and that kind of spread around. Talk to me about how that all went down, because I'm guessing you got plenty of work to do.
Okay.
And so does she. Yes. Right? But this just kept rolling.
And rolling.
Mm-hmm.
And rolling. And notice how she never says no.
Right?
Uh-huh. So she enables me in a good, healthy sort of way. Right?
Right.
Yeah, I think they call it synergy.
Yeah.
So what happened is, we thought once we came up with what I did, we were like, well, we can do this, and then we can do that. So along with the registration, we thought, okay, we'll sign them up for sports physicals and back to school physicals and immunization. So we started incorporating all the departments there at Muskegon Family Care. We thought, oh, well, we can do this and we can do that. And it just kept growing and growing and growing. So we will have people there that sign up for immunizations, sports physicals, as well as back to school physical. And if you sign up that day, your sports physical will be discounted as well. So
that's
we'll
great.
Have a discounted sports physical. I mean, they won't take the physical that day, but we will sign them up and get them an appointment to have a sports physical. We have mouthpiece. I mean, we got lunch with hamburgers, hot dogs, ribs.
Oh, wait.
We got
she said ribs.
My face lit up.
I mean, we got chips and candy and popcorn and ices and, I mean, everything we got, and it's all free of charge. All free of charge.
That I don't need a physical, but I'm thinking I might make some time on the 13th to swing by. I'll say nice things about people and pretend to eat the ribs. So I also want to think about, you know, coming from Muskegon Family Care, I'm not surprised that I'm seeing things like, you know, mouth guards, right? We got to protect our teeth. The idea of the sports physicals, we want to make sure people are healthy going in, you know, play. And then and football can, you know, you knock around a little bit. You want to make sure everybody's, you know, feeling their best and doing their best. But I know that's not everything you're doing. You're trying to take care of just not just, you know, the athletic side of things, but I see you've got things like backpacks.
We do. We have the little knapsacks for sports, the sports bag. Now, we're going to do a backpack giveaway. We're going to do that at our next event, which is August 10th. And we'll have backpacks that are full with school supplies. But these are the knapsack things that the boys carry for sports and put their little water bottles and all those string packs. So, yeah, we have 350 of those. And we're going to give away 350 of those bags. We got games and prizes. We got door prizes. We got gift cards. We're going to try this new R&B bingo thing everybody is trying. Hey, we're going to have a good time. It's for everybody. Absolutely everybody.
That is fantastic. And I know that if I were, someone listening to the radio here, maybe I'm a younger person and I'm not necessarily excited about going out and get a physical. The idea of games and giveaways and free food mm-hmm. and some kind of entertainment, maybe?
Yes, we have the Old Wild Girls. They'll be performing. And then we have, we got a couple games that we're going to play with the NFL players. They don't know it yet, but yeah. Because we're going to get, we have autographed footballs that we purchase. NFL footballs, and they're going to sign it, and the people will be able to win those. So, yeah, we got a lot of entertainment going on,
It sounds like it's going to be a fun and amazing day. But you also said something that I know is going to kind of tease the ears of everybody who's listening out there, and that is NFL players. So, you know, for a lot of folks in sports, I mean, the NFL is the most popular sport in America, there's a lot of kids out there right now who are, getting ready for 2-a-days and strapping on pads and dream about getting there. Great idea to bring back some people Absolutely. Who have, climbed that mountain, and made it in the league. We didn't want to talk about breaking down barriers. Some of those barriers are physical and some of them are financial, but some of them we know are psychological. And so when you bring people back into the community who've climbed that mountain, it helps everybody else realize they can do it too. But talk to me about, I don't have a phone where I can pick up and be like, yo, NFL player, why don't you show up to my barbecue? How did this happen? Who did you get? How did this come about?
Amazing families here.
Amazing families. Anthony Bradford, his sister works at Muskegon Family Care.
Wow.
Yeah. Uh-huh. and I told her, I said, I want your brother to come to National Health Center Week. And then I thought, Miss Lori, well, how about we welcome and do something for him? Okay, Miss Lori. So besides the National Health Center Week. So that's how this came about. His sister, Marion, she called and he said, we would be in that line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We would be Bradford in that line.
Family,
he said, we had a lot of barriers. Mm-hmm. It just broke my heart. It did. Oh. And I thought, hey, and he said, I'll do it. And I just thought, okay. Without no hesitation.
No rules. It was none. I'll be there.
Mm-hmm. He said, I'll be there.
Anthony Bradford for the Seahawks.
Right. Yeah.
Yes.
Hometown.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And then he said, what do I have to do? What do I have to buy? I said, absolutely nothing. We want to celebrate you. So he called back yesterday. He said, you sure I don't have to, but you want me to buy anything? And I told him, I told his sister, you promise me that next year when we have an event that you and your football guys come back and fill my backpacks up. You buy the backpacks and you fill them up. And he said, I promise.
Wow.
That is amazing. Don't have to be in the studio to get a round of applause if you're Anthony Bradford. And I will also extend this to Marion Bradford and the rest of the Bradford family for looking out for the hometown.
And then Curtis, he referees, he's retired from the San Diego. And when I asked him, he said, sure. I thought, you sir? He said, yeah, I'll do it. And I got some cards, I'll autograph, and I'll, what you want me to bring? He as well, what you want me to bring? What you want me to do? And I thought, well, we're going to do it. You just come. He says, okay. And also he got a bunch of cards he had when he retired. He says he's going to sign them and bring them for the kids. And so he'll be there as well, him and his family.
And not only a retired from San Diego, a retired fighter as well.
Yeah. And he when I talked to him and I asked him, I said, people don't really know that he played NFL. He said, I don't talk about it. I don't, brag about it. But he's been a firefighter. He came back. He's a referee now. And he told me, he said, well, they wanted me to come back and do refereeing for the NFL. He thought, no. I better look after the kids. I'm gonna come here and take care of the children. I'm gonna come home and take care of the children. And so I thought, what better person than him as well? So they see him when the kids see him, they're gonna be shocked because they're gonna be like, he played for NFL. He never talks about it. He don't brag about it. He don't boast about it. So they just know Kirk the referee, Kirk the fire guy. So
there's so much more behind the title of what we're doing. It's celebrating hometown heroes, but we truly are celebrating them. And as you've just heard, this is why.
Right.
There was no hesitation. None.
Right.
And sometimes you might expect a little, just given the nature of their positions. Mm-hmm. That didn't happen.
Well, and I want to talk more about that in about 2 seconds, but this is time drop number two. If you're just now tuning in, one, you show up at the beginning. It's a great show from front start to finish. But two, this, we're talking about the Celebrating Hometown Heroes event that's going to be occurring Saturday, July 13th from noon to 4 p.m. at Phillips Field, Muskegon Heights High School, 2441 Sanford Street. If you do want more information, connect with Kenitha Collins at 231-737-1804. Because again, this is something that is bringing things back to our community. It's bringing back to the kids who want to achieve these dreams someday, taking down barriers, and we're celebrating hometown heroes. And I think what I want to get back to, Lori, is the point that you just made. And that's that athletic achievement is amazing, but that's not everything that's heroic about what these people are doing.
That's exactly right.
Right. Yes. And when I hear about Curtis Adams, you know, who downplays the sport's glory, mm-hmm. right, and focuses on the kids and put the time in to be a first responder, right? That's the kind of heroism I think that is also really being highlighted here. And so, again, we're talking about people who say yes.
Right.
We're talking about people who say yes. And I do want to do this, and I'm sorry to throw you both under the bus right here on live air, right? But I am sitting with two people who also say yes, yeah. right? Because Lori, you told me Kenitha doesn't say no, right? And what I'm hearing is that's not just because you're the boss, and knowing the role that Muskegon Family Care has played in making this event happen, you had to say yes a few times too. So, you know, as we are celebrating some heroes, folks, when you go out to this event on Saturday, July 13th from 12 to 4 at Phillips Field, know that the NFL people on the field are our heroes we're celebrating, but also know that all of those folks from the Muskegon Heights Police Department and the Fire Department and Muskegon Family Care who put this together are the other kind of hometown heroes. Working to take down barriers. So again, I want to make sure I say that and get you all blushing before I continue with this.
We could go on and on and on and on, you know.
Good, because I'd like you to. tell me more about what happens behind the scenes when something like this goes down, because you all have, again, full jobs to do for Muskegon Family Care, and so this gets talked about. What's the process? How do you just keep saying yes to stuff and pulling rabbits out of hats? How do you do this?
Well, I think if we're going to, you know, we'll use the sports analogy. It's a great team. Mm-hmm. So there are players here with Muskegon Family Care who are not here. Mm-hmm. They're the ones that make all of that happen, right? The Brandies and the charities and the Dawns and the Rickies, and I could go on and on and on. So forgive me for those that I failed to mention, but that's how we do it as a team.
And it sounds like that same team is likely the team that's responsible for uplifting people across the community and taking care of their bodies as well as their spirits. So, yes. We always love shout outs for people who are doing good work. Mm-hmm. So, yes, thank you to all of you who were mentioned and all of you who weren't mentioned. I won't put her on the spot and make her go through the whole list. I'm sure she'd just whip out the employee roster and start from the top. But we got other things that I want to kind of talk about as well. So, Kenitha, you're the one with your name on the bottom of this flyer, and I'm guessing this phone goes to you.
Yes.
So tell me, what have you done to make this happen?
Okay.
As much as you are willing to share.
Well, it tells a lot. It does. But like she said, we have a good team. Like I said, a couple people I can call on, and they play their role. They just get it. So start to finish, we have the planning. Mm-hmm. The planning first, and then execute, and then just do. No complaining, just do it. So I could go detail for detail, but that would bore you. But it entails a lot. It takes a lot to do any event because we try to put our best at everything. I mean, everything we do, everything. It's never going to be minute. It's always going to be big. It's going to be coming out of Muskegon Family Care, always, because we want to put our best and we want to make the people feel like, it's our best, and we're giving you our best. So, I mean, that's in patient care, that's in any event we're having. I mean, anything we do, we want it to be the best.
Oh, that's amazing.
From Muskegon Family Care.
That is amazing. So I got to put on my professor hat for just a couple of seconds here, because you may not know it, but you are both living an exemplary practice in organizational structure and in volunteerism. I want to tell a little story here, because it's going to put a spotlight on who you are and what you do. There's a celebrity. His name is Jose Andres. He runs the World Central Kitchen, and he's another guy like you, who just doesn't know how to say no when people are in need. And the story that I love about this, and that I'm going to tell in reference to you, is that there was a situation where there's a earthquake in Turkey, and then the entire power of the U.S. military was talking about they could be on the ground in 96 hours, and they could be serving 25,000 meals a day in 96 hours. And Jose Andres turned to his people at World Central Kitchen, and they were on the ground in 24 hours serving 250,000 meals a day. And the way he did it was exactly what you're doing, is that he went to people, didn't say no. He presumed everybody was willing to be involved. He brought his entire team to bear on that issue. Mm-hmm. And he did miraculous things because he was willing to ask. And he understood that people like the Bradford family and like Curtis Adams, who understand the value of the community and what they can do, want to help. And they say yes. Mm-hmm. And you guys say yes.
Yeah.
And that is stunning. It is uplifting on several different levels. So since I am looking at maybe showing up and doing more than just eating ribs, when I walk onto that field, what help me envision what I'm going to be seeing and what I'm going to be doing, right? Okay. I'll bring my nephew. His name is Silas. He's 9. He could probably use a physical, but talk to me about what we're going to see.
It's going to blow your mind. It's gonna be beautiful. We got it. We decorated. You're gonna see picnic tables. You're gonna see all kind of football paraphernalia all over the place. We got gifts. We got smiling faces. We got vendors. People giving away stuff. People selling stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're gonna have the snow cone guy there. You're gonna have a long, long line waiting on some ribs. You won't have to wait. You just come see.
I will use that inside connection. Right. Do not think I won't.
Cars.
Right, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Greg, I love this show. Thank you.
Show.
Right.
Hamburgers, we got hot dogs, we got something for everybody. And I don't want people to think it's just for the kids. It's definitely not just for the kids. It's absolutely for everybody. We're celebrating the hometown hero. Everybody celebrate. Everybody celebrate. Yeah.
People talk about touching one, just if you touch one. Talk about that, just reaching out, and just if you just get that one kid involved.
What a difference it can make in their lives. And we may never know it, but we believe it. And you're absolutely right.
Right.
We see it, and it empowers us to continue the work. And the sports analogy, we have an amazing board. We have an amazing CEO. I have to mention his name.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Tracy McDaniel.
Tracy McDaniel.
So,
the Mac.
he has, you know, arrived in Muskegon Heights, and made a phenomenal difference. And it makes it easy.
It
makes it easy.
Yes. Yeah.
So we have 6 minutes left with you guys. Now is your chance to really sell this program. What would you say to the parent of the kids that are sitting on the couch and that don't want to step out?
I'm saying, if you want your child to play Little League sports, do not worry about the cost. Come to this event tomorrow and get your child signed up. Don't worry about the registration fee. Don't worry about the physical fee. Just come out, get your child signed up. You don't even have to pay the money when you get there. You don't have to pay the $15 when you sign your child up. You know, and you don't have to pay that, because depending on how much money we raise or we get from outside people, they may not have to pay a dime, but they do know that $10 of their fee is going to be paid. And if they have to pay the $15, so be it. But who knows? Because we got a boss, that Tracy McDaniel, he wants people to eat and he wants people to be involved. He wants, so he'll mess around and say, just pay it all. his pet off. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he would nope, everybody play. Everybody play because that's who he is. He wants to make sure that everybody that we take care of everybody. We take care of it. We have a staff appreciation day. And we have a luncheon outside and we have food trucks. So there's people that's walking by. He's hey, come eat with us. Come eat with us. So he's a person that can't say no as well. So come eat with us. He wanted to make sure that we put the family in Muskegon Family Care. Mm-hmm. So and that's what we try to display every day. We try to put the family in Muskegon Family Care. If we're not, we just take the family out and be just Muskegon Care or not. Mm-hmm. But he definitely put the family in the Muskegon Family Care. That's what we try to display daily. Yeah.
Come out and see what we do. We have amazing services. We mm-hmm. have medical, dental, behavioral health, optometry, an amazing pharmacy, transportation. If there's a barrier, we want to remove it.
That's right.
Yeah.
We want to remove it. We want you to be well. We want the community to be well. It's all connected.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And we're federally qualified healthcare center, so we can't turn you away because you do not have insurance. We will see you, regardless. Be it you have insurance or not. We take private insurance. We take no insurance. We have a program that's set up for sliding fee scale that if you don't have a job or don't have any money, we make sure that you still get your meds and we make sure that you're still seen. You get your dental help. So, I mean, come out and see what Muskegon Family Care does. Inside and out.
That's right. Come out for the good times, stay for the good health and long life. So I want to make sure I got that detail right. You're saying that, and I did this, sports physicals really became a thing about the time I was going through high school. Like early we didn't, and suddenly we did have to do them. You're telling me that somebody can get signed up for a sports physical. Mm-hmm. That physical will happen later. They don't have to put any money down today. Mm-hmm. And the later on, the cost of them is going to be like $15. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes. Yeah.
So folks, you know, we know that good health and participation in team sports, there's so much more important than just a pro sports dream or a college scholarship.
That's right.
You're talking about a lifetime of memories and camaraderie, teamwork. These are all employable skills that really, really help take somebody and lift them up. And if that you know, sports physical is one of the barriers, kudos to you from Muskegon Family Care for helping to remove that. Yeah. You know what?
Amazing provider. Yes.
Yeah.
We could go on.
That's right. And I'm not going to sit here and you know, say nice things. Without putting my money where my mouth is. You said you're accepting some sponsorships. Folks, I will personally sponsor 10 kids from this community for those physicals. I will give them either a check or a credit card before they leave today and you know, show up and tell them that Torn Into, the professor and Greg Roberts sent you. And hopefully that leads to a lifetime of better health and good sports. And, I'm willing to do that. I think, you know, I'm joining a long line of folks here who have made this happen. And that line starts with the ones who are doing the work to make it happen. And that, yes, is Anthony Bradford and the Bradford family. It's Curtis Adams. But it is also our guests here today, Lori Carter, the Director of Operations for Muskegon Family Care, and Kenitha Collins, who I'm going to try this one more time, is the Community Service Patient Experience Manager for Muskegon Family Care. Got it all. Yes. It's a massive title. It looks like it lands both of these ladies. She did it?
I'm thinking of adding a third.
Ooh.
I was fine with community service. I don't think I liked it. So she had to add two more words to it. And she pondered this for days. And then we have stickers on our door. And so she had came up with so many different things. My stickers was like hanging off the door and then pulled the paint off. And then finally they just said, don't put anything up there until she's done thinking about what she want to call me. And it didn't matter to me, but she thought, so yeah, it's her.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Lori, for doing what you do for this community, for helping lead that organization, for making this happen, for hiring her, who apparently does an amazing job at what this is. Okay. And thank you for doing what you do. So I think that, once again, folks, we're talking about Saturday, July 13th. That is tomorrow from 12 to 4 p.m. Phillips Field, Muskegon Heights High School, 2441 Sanford Street. Reach out to Kenitha at 231-737-1804 for any questions.
Absolutely. Thank you all. Thank you.
All right, we're going to go to commercial break. You are watching, I'm listening to Corner 2 on 103.7 The Beat, or M103. All right, we're back on Tony the Two on 103.7 The Beat and M106. It's political time, and you're getting a lot of stuff in the mail. And no strangers to us political analysts, a lot of truths out there, but a lot of false information. We have exciting information, top story for you. No stranger to the show. Judge Gregory C. Pittman has some news for you, and we want to make sure that you guys get to hear from him as well. Put your hands together for the Honorable Judge Gregory C. Pittman. Put him on the screen for me, please.
All right.
How you doing, sir?
I'm good, man. How are you? Greg and Dave, how you guys are doing?
Good.
Doing well, Judge. Thank you for being here.
Good. Thank you for having me.
Take it away, Dave.
So, Judge, we're here obviously to talk about what you have filed with the circuit court. And I have in front of me an advertising piece. We're not going to give that too much camera time, but tell me about what has brought us to this point in what is otherwise one would hope to be a straightforward judicial race. What's going on?
Well, thank you. So we are where we are after a number of steps have been taken to, you know, maybe rectify and to maybe get back on track a judicial race that my challenger obviously very much has the right to engage in. But it started off, I think, in a pretty poor form. And that poor form has continued now to become the dissemination of objectively and demonstrably false information. Mm-hmm. And my campaign, my advisors, and I have, you know, put our heads together and said that this cannot continue.
Right.
Got a long way to go to get to November. And I'm hoping that the spirit and the tenor of the campaign, such as it would be at a level that is that I think is appropriate for what judges should sound and look like.
Mm-hmm.
As decision makers and people who, you know, essentially have the power, if I use that term, the authority, mm-hmm. to change the trajectory of a person's life. We should be people who have a demonstratively exemplified level of integrity and character,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
that when folks walk into our courtroom, they may not agree with us. They may not agree with our decisions. They may not agree with how things turn out or how things may even go. But one of the things that they should not have question about is whether or not I, as a decision maker, as a judge, have the character and integrity to hear their case without there being concern on their part. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's happening, mm-hmm. In the manner in which the challenger to my incumbency has approached her candidacy. Mm-hmm. And to that end, Dave, you made reference to campaign material that you have in front of you that you, and I greatly appreciate, are not going to give a whole lot of airtime.
Mm-hmm.
But that has been circulated widely And frequently, I ran into someone this weekend who says that they have received this campaign circular now for the third time.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot of coverage, and that's going to a lot of people, and it is having an effect. It is having the effect of people looking at what is being alleged here, and at the very least, creating some level of skepticism about what they may think or know about me as a first and foremost as a individual, and for relevant purposes as a judge. And it's not right. And yeah. I had to take some action to stem this situation. And we did that first by, I think I did a Facebook Live kind of thing where I challenged my challenger to produce evidence, proof of those things that are asserted in that literature. Mm-hmm. That has not occurred. We then followed up with my legal counsel, my campaign legal counsel, sending two letters to her, essentially asking the same thing and seeking her voluntary retraction of what I would think she just should understand she cannot prove as fact. Nothing came of that. So we're now left with the extraordinary step of the remedy of seeking court action for what would be called an injunction against the continued distribution of this particular piece and the prohibition against any further false or misrepresenting information for the duration of the campaign. And I'll stop there.
Well, thank you, Judge. So I've only had a brief amount of time to look over your actual filing here, but I am very cognizant as somebody who follows and studies politics that the truism of the lie getting around the world before the truth gets its pants on is a political reality.
It is true.
And it does sound to me, given what I've seen here from your filing and what you've just described, that this litigation, which you had a right to do under the Michigan Code of Laws, is in many ways a last resort. And it sounds like you and your team have tried several different methods of remediating the situation before it came to putting this down and filing it with the court. Give me some more insight, because you're somebody who's been in this position or in judiciary for almost three decades at this point in time, and your job is not one that is by any means unaccustomed to taking barbs and having people disagree with you or dislike you for what you do. But it sounds like that this crossed a critical line, and without giving voice to the specifics here, tell me about what has been crossed and how you can easily disprove the things in these pieces.
Yeah. Well, why don't I take that last part first, David, if you don't mind.
By all means.
The lawyer in me says that it is not my responsibility to disprove mm-hmm. anything. It is incumbent upon my challenger to prove statements that she is approving and her campaign committee is approving and indicating to people to be fact. Mm-hmm. And that is what this action is ultimately going to require her to do. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate your understanding. I think you've got a good finger on the pulse of how these things go. I don't want to. I cannot necessarily delve into the facts any further than what the filing currently indicates. Mm-hmm. But I would say this. One of the counts in this three-count action indicates that my challenger's behavior violates what are called the Michigan Code of Judicial Conduct. Michigan judges, like a lot of state judges, unlike our U.S. Supreme Court justices, are required to adhere to levels of conduct,
mm-hmm.
because it is intended that adherence to those particular points of conduct helps to promote the confidence of the public in the sufficiency and the competence and the character and integrity of our judiciary. So when a person runs for judge, they are subject to the same rules that sitting judges are subject to. And I would simply say this. It speaks volumes in my mind that before ever being seated or winning an election or getting the opportunity to be sworn in as a judge, the effort to get to that election win and getting invested as a judge is off to such an incredibly truncated and compromised start.
Mm-hmm.
You're not even out of the gate yet. And there are clear accusations at this point. I certainly believe that they are provable and will prevail on them. Accusations of the fact that you and your conduct do not comport with what is expected of those who would serve in the Michigan judiciary. If you can't start well, if you can't start right, if you can't run for the office with the level of integrity and character that is expected, how possibly are you to convince me, and I'll just use me, I won't talk about anybody else, how are you going to convince me as a voter that you're going to serve in that capacity mm-hmm. with the character and integrity that is expected?
Judge, we got a question.
Question from a viewer. Looks like it's from Daniel W. Rudd. Speaking of the Michigan Code of Judicial Conduct and Integrity, Judge Pittman, are you willing to retract your previous claims that you had never been overturned on appeal? Sounds like there could be some questions about a status for a case of appeal. Anything you'd like to speak to that?
Certainly. So this gentleman here, this Daniel Rudd, to give you a little background before I answer his question. This is a gentleman who's had a case in front of me since 2007. Mm-hmm. This gentleman has sued me all the way to the point of the United States Supreme Court, where he applied for a writ of certiorari to take me before the United States Supreme Court, which was out of turn denied based upon essentially the ridiculousness of the idea that there was an action to be had against me in the federal system with the United States Supreme Court. This is a gentleman who has filed or had filed on his behalf. I'm looking at the stack right here in my office, 7 different complaints to the Judicial Tenure Commission against me that have all been dismissed or in some cases flat out ignored by the Judicial Tenure Commission as having no basis within which to be decided. This is a gentleman who has filed, I would say, more than 10 appeals to the Michigan Court of Appeals in regard to the case that I speak of, that have been denied or dismissed outright for either want of having credibility or for his failure to be able to comply with the process that is called for in bringing that appeal. But in no account has his claims been taken seriously? Now, he speaks of in 2022 at a forum, I indicated that I had not been overturned. And, you know, a little knowledge is a dangerous thing. Mm-hmm. And there are certainly appellate cases where I've had matters returned to me to clarify, to rehear certain parts. But the issue of overturning means that your decision has been of such a magnitude that it is completely vacated and voided. Mm-hmm. So it's a term of art. And I may have used that term, and I certainly would take responsibility for whatever cases have been returned to me. I think I have been appealed in some manner, including the voluminous number of appeals by this gentleman, approximately 84 times in 26 years. And I think I've had in some manner returned to me approximately six cases for further proceedings to occur to clean it up. Well, I mean, you know, nobody's perfect. Mm-hmm. If I gave the impression that I was perfect, I own that and I take that back.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you, Judge. And just for the sake of our viewing public who may not understand some of these things, I do want to clarify a couple of points. The writ of certiorari before the Supreme Court requires at least four justices of the nine to agree to hear the case. If something can't receive certiorari, it means it is not even achieving minority of support amongst the judges on the case. Vast majority of cases that are appealed to the Supreme Court don't make that standard, and it sounds like this was that case as well. Second, the appellate court within the state of Michigan, the idea that it would remand a case to a lower court to be revisited in some capacity can do with all sorts of different conditions. Judge, you don't have to go into those, but there are numerous reasons why, including just a difference of interpretation of the law in which the appellate court might decide that this needs to be revisited. And sometimes the proper procedure for revisitation doesn't even change the substance of the decision at the end of the day. Perhaps there's a process that has to be adjusted or evidence that needs to be admitted or excluded. Just make sure people understand what that process looks like for those who aren't either justices or political scientists. And I do want to get back to this this very, very crucial concept, because we referenced it briefly in terms of the Supreme Court, which we'll leave out for this point. But the idea of perceived integrity from the bench. We can cite the Michigan Code of Judicial Conduct. We can cite its absence at the Supreme Court level. But one of the things that is a cornerstone of our system of justice is the idea that when you walk before a judge, that judge should be someone who will judge you based on the law, mm-hmm. and whose character and whose conduct is not about retribution or personal ambition or personal agenda. And you spoke to that in terms of this case, but I'd like to hear more about the way you view this as a nearly 30-year veteran of the judiciary in terms of what that public integrity looks like and what it means if it's not present.
Thank you. You know, when you become a judge in the state of Michigan, and I always say state of Michigan, there are other states and they have their varying approaches. But when you become a judge in the state of Michigan at new judges school, and that's a thing, there's a new judge school when you become a new judge. One of the things that they help you to appreciate is that your conduct and how you carry yourself as a judge is 24 hours. Mm-hmm. And that is because it is your responsibility to look like the person who can honestly and effectively and competently handle the matters that are brought before the court. And people need to see that level of conduct on the bench and away from the bench.
Right.
So you kind of lose a little bit of the individuality, I guess, if you would, the opportunity to act in ways that maybe others can act, because you have to maintain that level of appearance throughout everything that you do. And let me say it this way. 26 years is a long, long, long time to be fooling people about who you are. And I would dare say to those who are willing to give a fair hearing to this campaign and this race, you're going to be hard pressed to find in those 26 years that I've been on the bench that I've done things that are embarrassing to the community, that have shown that I am willing to cut big corners and take license and advantage of things to the extent that my character and my integrity and my bearing as a judge is under question.
Mm-hmm.
26 years is a long time to be able to get away with fooling folks.
Judge, you know, you talked to a couple people that have studied politics for a long time, but all three of us have ran for office. Why is it important? Why is it important when you run for office to speak out and say enough is enough? Let's get to the issues and let's get away from these lies and these falsehoods.
Yeah, excellent question. And I meant to make that point that you just made. I'm glad to be able to talk to guys who have been through this. And you guys have been through it at a high level. You guys have been engaged in some serious races. And, you know, I say this with as much respect as I possibly can. And I don't want to sound like the old guy shaking his fist at the clouds and stuff like that, but we're not always getting our best and brightest running for public office anymore.
Right.
And what we're getting, especially in partisan races, if I can be a voter for a second, is we're getting the lowest common denominator as the approach to how to advocate to win.
Mm-hmm.
As a judge and in a nonpartisan race, part of the reason that it is nonpartisan, part of the reason that there's a code of judicial ethics is that there were some folks a while ago who had the wisdom to say, you know, you can get away with that maybe in the partisan stuff, but we need judges to look a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to prescribe your behavior. See, there's no code of ethics to run for state senate or state house or city council or school board. But there's a code of ethics that has to be adhered to become a judge, mm-hmm. because that's what people should have the right to expect. And that's what we need to stay. I'll speak simply about what I'm engaged in. That's where I think we need to be.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be in a position where when you go into that voting booth or you get that absentee ballot, you can feel confident that the person you're voting for probate court judge is a person who carries themselves in a manner that is expected.
Mm-hmm.
And let me say this about running for probate court judge. Folks, don't get fooled. I'm campaigning just a little bit here, guys. Don't get fooled. Running for probate court judge means maybe you should have done in your career a probate court case.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't stand up and legitimately say that I have experience in probate court, you can still run, but you can't say that you have experience
mm-hmm.
in the subject matter.
Right.
If you're going to be a family court judge, which this position could turn out to be, that's what I do as well.
Mm-hmm.
you need to have litigated, in my mind, a divorce or two, a parenting time situation, a custody battle, child support issues, a few times to be able to legitimately say, I have that experience. I've been here 26 years. My opponent has been a licensed attorney for seven.
Mm-hmm.
In those 7 years, I have not seen her. I'm not saying she hasn't. I have not seen her once handle a probate court matter. I have not seen her once handle a family court matter involving divorces. Now, she's done some juvenile. She's done some abuse, neglect. Matter of fact, she did 2 years of abuse, neglect when I had her assigned to my court when she first started as an attorney.
Mm-hmm.
Her boss, I literally called him and said, please put her in my court first so she can get some experience and I can help her to get off to a good start. So I know she's got that experience.
Yep.
Okay, I'll stop there.
No, it's all right. Thank you, Judge. I actually want to take, again, another opportunity here because very frequently I run into folks in the community or people who I'm seeing in the classroom who don't appreciate the way in which the various different either district, circuit, probate, claims courts in the state of Michigan, family courts, special issue courts actually mean very different types of law, very different fields of expertise. And I will always in the classroom kind of compare it to medicine. Every doctor is you got a good general education in terms of the body. But if someone is an eye specialist versus a brain specialist versus a heart specialist, their proficiency is diverse and is very specific sometimes. So that is something, regardless of this campaign or case, I always tell people when you're looking at experience for a judicial position, make sure you understand the type of law that's being adjudicated because it is very different from one branch or one type of court to another. So that's an excellent point to make.
Absolutely.
We have 1 minute left on the show. So can you explain once again what you have filed and what you're trying to accomplish?
So again, what has been filed against both the challenger individually and her campaign committee as an entity is that she has violated Michigan law and committed potentially two misdemeanors.
Mm-hmm.
And both have to do with the knowing or reckless falsity of the campaign literature that has been disseminated by her on multiple occasions.
Okay.
Additionally, we are alleging that she has violated the canons of Michigan judicial ethics in her knowing or reckless disregard for the truth of the matters that she has asserted in that campaign literature. I would say this, if I could close like this, Greg and David. What I am asserting is a person who is going to be imbued with the responsibility of making decisions about the veracity of the truth or untruth of matters that are put before her in making decisions is being untrue and non-veracic in how she is presenting information to the court of public opinion. I think that is the absolute height of irony, ridiculousness, and I think it speaks volumes about the fact that she should be disqualified to be considered a person who could be a sitting judge. You got to have respect for the truth and facts mm-hmm. in order to be a person who's going to make decisions about truth and facts.
Thank you, Judge Pittman. We're going to keep you informed on that. We had a lot of questions from Daniel Roy and other people. We'll get them on. Listen, it's time to end the show for today. Thank you to Judge Pittman. Thank you to our other guests. Thank you, Dave, for coming in and stepping in, my brother.
Every time.
Listen, go out and sow a seed in somebody's life. You never know who you might touch. Take care. God bless. We'll see you next week on Turning Two.